Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to break into the chapter, commencing to read from the verse 24. Whilst you're turning up the portion, let me thank our brother, Mr. Graham, for his warm words of welcome. I don't say that by a matter of formality. There is a tendency when you, especially when you're involved in preaching around churches, just as a matter of formality, to thank the person giving the announcements for the words of welcome. I did that in one of our churches, and everyone burst out laughing because he forgot to welcome me, and it had been then detected that I had been thinking on the message during the announcements and I hadn't been focusing, so I learned from that day forth to always make sure you get a good welcome. So thank you for the welcome here, even to my own church. Can I ask you please, over the incoming weeks, to remember us in prayer. Just use this opportunity very briefly. This week, in the will of God, in Ballymena, the Reverend Noel Hughes will be taking a gospel mission for us in our Ballymena church, and we're looking to the Lord that the Lord will bring in the young people that we work with, the young addicts. We've been giving out invitations, speaking to them, spending quite a bit of time, and we're looking to the Lord this week to bring in those young people and to speak to their hearts. Then the week after, I go to Kilkeel for a youth mission for a week, so we would covet your prayers and the remembrance at the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from the verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. We'll end our reading there at the verse 34. May trust indeed that the Lord will take his own word and write it and inscribe it upon all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. With God's word open, let's just briefly bow in a word of prayer, seeking the face of the Lord. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the one mediator that there is between God and men. We thank thee, O God, for the way of access that we have in through the rent veil and the precious blood to approach and draw nigh to thee. Lord, we come with thankfulness and with praise. And yet, Lord, we do come poor and needy. And yet we are reminded that it is the Lord that thinketh upon us. And our God, we would ask that thou wilt turn our eyes this morning to behold the Lord Jesus Christ afresh. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt exalt our Saviour in the preaching and the proclamation of thy precious word. And everything may Christ have the preeminence. We do thank thee, Lord, for all that has taken place already, for the singing of the hymns, the offering of praise, the glorifying of thy dear name. And, O God, we would ask that thou wilt close us in with thyself now and shut out every distracting thought. May we be very conscious that it is the Lord himself who is speaking to our hearts. O God, thou dost know what this week will hold for each one of us, and how vital it is that we receive a word from thyself. And our God, we just cast ourselves wholeheartedly, unreservedly, upon thy divine mercy. We would ask that thou wilt remember us here for good and speak to our hearts. O, make much of Christ. We pray that thou wilt undertake and richly bless. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are certain subjects that must be dealt with on a regular basis in order to have them fixed upon the hearts and the minds of God's people. One of those great subjects is the just shall live by faith. And the Apostle Paul makes use of that particular wordage in three of his epistles, in Romans, Galatians, and here in Hebrews. Paul here speaks about the just living by faith. Now, in Romans and Galatians, Paul uses those words to demonstrate and to explain, to show how a man or woman is justified before God. How that a holy and righteous God can and does accept sinners. That, of course, is only on the grounds of justification. Now, here in Hebrews 11, whilst Paul does mention justification by faith, really the emphasis of the particular chapter has to do with the Christian patiently enduring the tests and trials of life. The Christian life is a life of faith. And Paul here is going to illustrate that in a most vivid and in a most remarkable way. One of the most important subjects in a Bible college, and I better watch what I say, is the homiletics class. I remember my first day in the homiletics class in the Whitfield, and Mr. Cook said, I had the privilege of sitting under Mr. Cook, and he said, you know, you're going to go out for the next number of years into the various classes in the college, but he says, here is where it all comes together. And he likened it to learning to cook. Well, I wouldn't really profess to know much about cooking. But he likened it to cooking. He said, you're going to go out, and what you're going to learn to do is to get the ingredients. But here is where it all comes together. And you learn the basics of sermon structure. Now, a very useful sermon structure is one that really the Apostle Paul here uses himself. Let me just give you that sermon structure. It consists of a text, followed by an introduction, then you state a proposition. In other words, you make a statement upon which you're going to base your sermon, and then you develop that in the points. Let's look at Paul's sermon structure here. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 38. Now, Paul here in this verse is setting forth his text. Here's the text of his sermon. Now, the just shall live by faith. And in the latter part of chapter 10, Paul introduces what he is going to highlight and what he is going to develop and what he's going to speak upon. His proposition is verse 36. Ye have need of patience. So in effect, Paul was here saying to the believers, I want to draw your attention to this verse, the just shall live by faith. And I want to speak today on you as believers having need of patience. Of course, that is a great text that is as relevant today as whenever Paul uttered those words. We as God's people always have need of patience. He then begins to develop this message in Hebrews chapter 11. Whilst there are no divisions in the original with regards to chapter divisions, a good way of looking at Hebrews 11 is to view it like Paul's sermon on faith. There is here the explanation of a life of faith. He explains what this life of faith really is. My faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in verse 1. Then he gives examples of the life of faith. He says, men and women, if you want to learn about the Christian life as a life of faith, look at the examples that we have in history. Look at the examples we have in the written word of God. When you think about faith, let me give you an example of how to live the life by faith. Think of Enoch. Remember Noah. Think of Abraham, Moses, men and women of God who did, in effect, live out their life as a life of faith. Then there are the exploits of the life of faith. Paul states those great accomplishments that are wrought by God's people having patience, patiently enduring, pressing on toward the mark. Oftentimes, those great exploits wrought in the face of seeming impossibilities. Then he gives us the expectation of the life of faith. Why was it that the likes of Abraham was able to endure and to keep pressing on, despite all of the trials, despite the hardships, the circumstances? It was because of his blessed hope and expectation, the goal of each and every believer. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, his eyes were fixed firmly and continually upon the Lord and upon Christ. This morning I want us to consider one of these great exploits of faith. I trust that as we look at it, we will and we shall receive encouragement to patiently endure in our own Christian walk. Here we read about Jericho in the verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I want us to, first of all, think here of the problem that the people faced, the walls of Jericho. Now, between verse 29 and verse 30, there is, in effect, a 40-year gap here in view. In verse 29 of Hebrews 11, we read about the time that God's people passed through the Red Sea. Verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. God's people under the leadership of Moses were brought through the Red Sea, right through on dry land. The Egyptians perished in the midst. But here in verse 30, the next thing that we read about has to do with the walls of Jericho and the city of Jericho. There is therefore a new leader in view. It is no longer Moses leading the people, it is now Joshua. It is under Joshua that Jericho is going to be destroyed and captured. Jericho was most certainly an important city. It was strategically positioned. It could not have been a very large city because whenever we read Joshua chapter 6 and the various details about this particular great feat, we read that God's people were able to march around the city 7 times in one particular day. So it couldn't have been a very large city, and the fact that the people were able to march around it 7 times in one day, but it was certainly well fortified. It was a strong city, one of the oldest cities in the world. It was said to have walls that were 25 feet high, over 20 feet thick. It was a vast city, a great city, an impregnable city. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, here we have one of the reports, or the report of the spies that were sent into Canaan. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 28, we'll read verse 27 to get the context. Here under Moses, the spies were sent forth into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. Verse 27 of Numbers 13 says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us off, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is their food of it. My, what blessings were in store for God's people. What provision there was. What blessings lay in front of them. Now look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The spies noted that the cities of Canaan, they were walled and very great. To the first generation of Israelites, this fact, along with others, caused their hearts to, in effect, melt with fear. Oh, the spies not only spoke about the promises and the blessings that were before them, but also the difficulties and the obstacles and the barriers. And that caused God's people to focus rather than on the Lord, but on the obstacles and the barriers, the problems. And it's amazing when you think that, in the light of that, that the people turned back. They were on the very brink of something wonderful, of something new, of many rich blessings. But there at the very brink of blessing, they turned back. It's hard to imagine. And for over 40 years wandered in the wilderness. However, under the leadership of Joshua, this second generation confronted and destroyed the obstacles. If you turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 1. Here we read of Joshua leading the people. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 states, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." And there's something very important that we need to learn here. That the people of God still had to face the same problem. They had to face this same obstacle. The one that previously had caused God's people, their hearts, to melt with fear and trepidation and to turn back. Now they must still confront those same difficulties, those same problems. The problem they faced, therefore, was no new problem. The walls of Jericho, they stood in the way of progression of God's people. There was a great task in front of them. A huge and mammoth obstacle that had to be overcome in order for the whole nation to go forward. Of course, the devil will come to the Christian and he will say to the child of God, "You're the only one to ever face this problem. Why is it that your life is filled with so many difficulties, so many problems? I bet you so many other people don't have those difficulties." That's the lie of the devil. Because there is no temptation but as such that is common to man. We must recognize and realize that we are not the only people to face certain difficulties and problems. How did the people of God respond here? In the light of facing this same problem, how were they going to deal with it? Well, in Joshua chapter 6, we're told how they dealt with it. They dealt with it in unity. And there is only one way to overcome problems in the work of God, and that is with unity. Can I say, not just in the work of God and the house of God, but also in the family and the home life. There is only one way for a family to overcome problems and difficulties, and that is together. And this is a lesson that we need to take to heart. That as we have need of patience in the Christian life, we need to learn to be patient one with another. Jericho was inhabited by a people who were living in absolute rebellion against the Lord. How do we know that? Well, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the portion that we read in the verse 31, here we have a description, a general description of the people living in Jericho. Verse 31 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." There is a summary, an overview of the people living within Jericho. They were unbelievers. They were not of the household of faith. They were not trusting in the Lord. They did not know the Lord. What's more, they were prepared to continue to live in rejection of God. It's amazing. Turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 2 and the verse 9. Here we have the time when the two spies went out under Joshua. We have the occasion when Rahab, of course, hid the spies. But in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, here we have the report that was given by Rahab to the spies. And it's amazing what she said. Verse 9, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is amazing, because the people living in Jericho, they had heard about the Lord. They were fully aware as to who the Lord was. They had heard that he was mighty, strong in battle, one of infinite power. They were aware of his punishment, his wrath. In fact, they were filled with terror and trepidation as they listened to the reports about what had happened with the children of Israel. How God had caused the Red Sea to part, God's people going through in dry land, the Egyptians been drowned. And yet, in the light of what they had heard about the Lord, they still continued to reject him. In fact, they closed the gates of Jericho. They dared to defy the one who is omnipotent. It's just a picture of the sinner. The walls of Jericho is a picture of the opposition, of course, of the world to the Lord and to his cause. The world in which we live, it's just like Jericho. A world that has heard about the Lord, who knows about God's great and terrible acts, and yet dares to defy God, who will reject the Lord, who is opposed to the Lord. The world wants and continues to shut the Lord out. Then, of course, the walls of Jericho is a picture of the heart of man. Of the man or woman before God who will dare to defy God. Shuts up, as it were, the door of his heart. Strengthens the walls. Will not have Christ to reign or rule over them. Of course, man born into this world by nature is born naturally opposed to the Lord. His heart closed to the things of God. I wonder, is there someone here this morning? And for years you have been aware of who the Lord is. You've been told time after time of the Lord who is strong, who is mighty, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful. You have seen firsthand the change perhaps in a man or woman's life. You know that there's a God in heaven. You're convinced of that. And yet, we could liken your heart to the walls of Jericho. What a tragedy that is. Let me remind you that though Jericho was closed to the Lord, and though the people dared to defy the Lord, and though it was strong and it was great, the walls came down and the people perished. And can I say to you, man or woman, dear friend, this morning, that if you go on in rejection against God, then tragically you will perish. It's inevitable. The problem that the people faced, it was no new problem, but there was also here the promise to favor them. Look at Joshua chapter 6 with me, please. And here the words that were spoken to Moses, or to Joshua, Joshua 6 verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass this city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of a trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall round flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And here we have God's word that was given to his servant Joshua. And the Lord said, that's wonderful. There's a lesson for us all. That no matter how high the walls of our problems may seem before us, no matter how wide the difficulties are, no matter how insurmountable they seem to be, what matters is to get a word from God. Because you and I can be absolutely sure that what God says about the matter, he will fulfill. There is no difficulty too great for him. And in fact, what we are reading off here is that the Lord was saying that he was going to give them the victory completely. And they were to view, therefore, this obstacle by faith. They were, in effect, just fighting a defeated foe. What confidence there is for us as believers to go forth within our Christian life. What an encouragement that as we seek to war daily against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we have the promises of God, the promises of God in Christ to bless us, to sustain us, to help us. Knowing assuredly that the victory has been wrought and won at the place called Calvary. We do not and we ought not be paralyzed by or stopped by the power, as it were, of a defeated enemy. We can and we ought to obtain the victory through Christ. And can I say that it is not the will of God for God's people to live in defeat. That's not God's will. It is God's will that we would be in victory in Christ. Of course, there are those times when our hearts will be crushed, broken. But the Lord himself draws so graciously and tender near to us. So those occasions that we are reminded that we need to patiently endure the tests and trials of life. What great encouragement there is for us as God's people when we think here that Jericho is a picture of the world and its opposition to the Lord. It's a picture of the sinner against Christ. Well, what happened in Jericho? What happened was that the Lord not only brought down the walls and gave the victory, but the Lord saved the people for himself out of Jericho. There was a remnant. Rahab and her family. Praise God for that. And here, in Hebrews 11, verse 31, here we read about this woman Rahab, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And here the Holy Spirit reminds us about the sort of woman that Rahab was. A woman down in the depths of sin and iniquity. Her life given over to immorality. And it's as if the Lord now is holding up Rahab before the world. And he's speaking and he's saying, now think about the Christian life as a life of faith and a life of needing patience. And let me remind you that here is my power. Here is my ability to save to the uttermost. And he holds Rahab up like a precious jeweler gem. Of course, every believer is precious before the Lord. And precious to him. And as the Lord's people, we have the great promises of God. We have the promise that the Lord will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Or against it. Here we also see the plan that the people were to follow. The plan, you see, was a plan that was devised and given by the Lord. What was that plan? Well, we read about it in Joshua chapter 6. How that the Lord spoke to Joshua and told him to instruct the people that they were to walk around the city for 6 days and the seventh day, seven times, making 13 times in total, and he gave them instructions what was to take place. It was God's plan. You see, it was by faith that the walls of Jericho came down. Now, this is so important for us to realize. Brick by brick, they came down. And what brought down that problem, that obstacle, was faith. Faith alone. There was no human means. In other words, all human means were excluded. There was no military weapon used. No war council called. No God's people were given the plan. They were to march around the city for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around that city seven times. And what they were learning was that they were going to have to patiently endure. Patiently, day by day, every step that they would take, that they would learn to trust God, to believe God. Turn with me to Psalm 37, please, and the verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 7, which reads, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Well, if you have a Bible with a margin, you'll notice that the words are translated, be silent to. Be silent to the Lord and wait patiently for Him. It's remarkable that when we think of what was to take place with Jericho, that Joshua commanded the people, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. In other words, there was to be absolute stillness and quietness, reflection upon God, who God is. In other words, Joshua was instructed that the people were not to speak because there was to be no room for murmuring. No complaining. There as the people would walk around the city, perhaps someone might be lifted up in their heart with fear and turn to another brother and say, well, is this really God's plan? Will the walls really come down? No, there was to be absolute quietness. They were to be silent to the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And that's what you and I need to do as believers. In the light of our problems and the difficulties that we face, we need to be silent to the Lord. In quiet reflection and contemplation, meditate upon who the Lord is. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23, please. And here you will find that as we are involved in God's work, that and in our Christian lives, that the victory does not come, as it were, overnight or even quickly. Exodus 23 and the verse 29, the promise given to Moses as God's people would enter into the promised land. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. That's just a picture of the believer in the Christian life. It is by little and little that we make progress in the work of God and in our Christian lives. But thank the Lord we make that progress. Little and little. But you know, in reflection, when we look back, we realize that every little step that we have taken, every little encouragement that we've received, every little way that we've gone on forth with the Lord, when we look back in reflection, what a way we have come. We can reflect this morning, and as God's people, we would have to say, yes, it has been by little and little that we've been living our daily Christian lives. And yet in reflection, what a way God has brought me. What a distance God has brought me from my old life and my old ways. Praise His name. You see, the Lord was showing and teaching that the battle depended upon Him. It was not because of who the people were or what strength they might have. It was not by human wisdom, by human strength. It was not because of the numbers of people. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In closing, we see here the provision of their faith. What it actually accomplished, what it
rod. You see, Jericho was, as I stated, it was a vast, a great city. It was impregnable. It was of great strength and structure, yet its conquest set forth the power and the glory of the Lord. Now when we turn to Joshua 6, and we read here in verse 20 about the order of events. Biblical order is very important. When we read about events, we should always note the order in which they take place. And can I say it would be good you later on to just read the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua with regard to the events, with regards to Jericho. But here we read in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Of course, if it were left to a man in his own wisdom and even strength to record the events or to write about the events, we would write differently. We would expect the order of events to be different. We would expect to, as it were, to see the walls come down, then to let up a great shout, and then to blow the trumpets. But notice the order of events here. The order of events speaks of the faith of God's people. They expected God to work. They believed that God was going to work. And in victory, we read here how that the people shouted when the people, or the priests blew with the trumpets. So the priests, first of all here, they blew with those great trumpets. In other words, they were praising God in expectation of what was now going to happen. The people shouted, and what was the result? The walls came down. In other words, it was by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down. By faith. They believed what God had promised. We as God's people ought to trust what the Lord has said. To take what God has said and to act upon it. To be obedient unto His will. The Lord here instructed them, He gave them the commands. And the result was that by faith they saw a great victory. And so it is that as believers we will see victories and accomplishments wrought through faith and through faith alone. In 2 Chronicles, we haven't time to turn to it, but we have the account of Jehoshaphat's great victory over the Moabites and the Ammonites. You read how there was earnest prayer, an expectation of God to work. And then we actually read about how the people sang and praised the Lord before the victory was given. In other words, they knew that as the Lord had promised, so God would fulfill His word. You and I, as God's people, we can stand four square upon the promises of God. Those promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. For as God has covenanted, so God will and must fulfill. We have need of patience. Think about Jericho. Think of the people silently, quietly, contemplation of God, walking around the city. Their hearts were not fixed on the difficulty, but they were looking to the Lord. And in expectation, they began to praise God. And the victory was given. That's the Christian life. A life of faith. Walking not by sight, but by faith. May God give us grace to do so each and every day.